Amen. Happy Sunday. I told my wife this morning, Lynn, I asked her, I says, what do you think my favorite day of the week is? And she guessed, and I said, well, my favorite day of the week is the day that I get a chance to spend time with you. So today is my favorite day. That's a Winnie the Pooh quote. Sorry. It's in the Bible, maybe. Second Opinions, chapter 3. We saw the Christopher Robin movie this week, so it's got all up in me, you know. I'm sorry, I'm nostalgic about that kind of stuff. When I loved Winnie the Pooh when I was real little, you know, and a long time ago. Seems like now. But it was good. It was sweet, wasn't it? Yeah. You may or may not like movies. I don't know. You'll be okay. Just go see it. It'll lighten your heart. Winnie the Pooh. I felt like Eeyore a couple days ago, though. So God snatched me up from that. Amen, right? So we're going to be in Ezekiel, an interesting book in the Bible. So if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, it's good to see all you guys. And if you're visiting us for the first time or maybe haven't been here in a while, please fill out the little visitation slip that's sitting in front of you or somewhere down the little aisle there, or bench, pew. And we would love to, get in touch with you and send you a letter. Give it to me after service or one of the men. Please do that. We'd love to have a record of your visit. Ezekiel chapter 37. And Gary's got it on the screen up here. New King James Version. I just felt like doing that one this morning. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the folks that are here. And Lord, the folks that are not here, Lord, we pray that they'll have safe travels if they're on vacation or just relaxing at home. Sometimes we need to relax and get some rest. So, Lord, we just love you and thank you for this time together. And Lord, I pray for the word, Lord, that it will go out and would not return void. And you said it would. And so I just pray for our time together today, studying and preaching your word. Help me, Father, share this in the way that you put it in my heart this week. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 13. So bear with me, I'm going to read it. It's quite a few verses, so we'll follow along. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, all my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place in you, in your land, and I will place you in your land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Ezekiel was giving an unusual preaching assignment, wasn't he? Probably one of the most difficult congregations that any preacher has ever had to speak to. Would you agree? That was probably a tough crowd. As we just read, you know, God brought him by the Spirit into a valley that was full of dry bones. And this is a scene of desolation and death. This is a scene of destruction. A battle had took place, and it was a grim reminder of defeat and a gruesome image of sin and destruction and how it all ends. These bones represented, though, the nation of Israel. They were carried off in Babylon. Now think about this for a minute. For a Jewish man, especially a soldier, it was very humiliating for them to be buried in such a dishonorable way and just left like that. Because usually they had a big festive, and it was a very honorable thing for them to be buried. And if you look at Gettysburg, anybody ever been to Gettysburg? You see those graves, and it's buried with honor, but not here. Not here. There was no grave markers here. They were just left, and their bones were bleached by the sun. Now God tells Ezekiel that he has to walk around in this valley and check it out and look at all the bones. And then he asked him, he said, can these bones live? What did Ezekiel say? He knew there was nothing too hard for God. He knew there was nothing too difficult for God, even death. And he said, well, Lord, you know, you know what you can do for sure. And so from a human point of view, we would look at that. We would say, wow, there's no way. There's just dry bones. But Ezekiel knew that he was not talking with, he was not dealing with some, you know, deity out there. That he was talking with and dealing with the great I am. He was talking with God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And he knew that God could raise these bones up. He never, ever questioned God. He never said to himself, well, this is kind of strange. This is kind of weird. I don't know if I want to get involved in this. No, he was very obedient. He didn't second guess God at all. He knew there was nothing that was too big for God. He knew that nothing was over until God said, it is over. Even death. If you're struggling in here and you think your marriage is in trouble, it's not over. There is hope. Now Ezekiel began to preach to these dry bones. And they began to cry out and say, is there hope? We don't know. We've lost hope. These bones started crying out. This is a true story. This happened. The bones started crying out. We don't know. We don't know. There's no help. We've been cut off. See, they knew, even as they were beginning to wake up, they knew that they were cut off from the life-giving presence of God. And this describes the human condition. If you're an unbeliever, we are cut off from the life-giving power of Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:1 that apart from God, we are spiritually dead in our trespasses, and we're dead in our transgressions and our sins. We're not just merely sick. As human beings, we are dead. And God is the only one that can raise the dead. The memory verse today is Paul's Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, though you were dead in your sins, God has made you alive with God. You see, Jesus went to the cross, paid for our sins, died on the cross, took your sins, and God raised them from the dead. See, when we proclaim the Word of God and when we believe the Word of God, there's resurrection power. Just like God raised these bones. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful. 1 Peter 1:23 says it imparts new life. Jesus declared in John 6:23, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You see, we read and study the Bible not to just get a bunch of knowledge up here in our head. That we read and study the Bible so that it can transform our lives. It can take these dead, dry bones and bring them to life. We study and read the Bible so that we can be transformed in our marriage, in our relationships. That the Word of God can teach us how to be a good father, a good mother, a good parent, a good business person. Good spouse, good grandparent, the way God intended us for to do. This is transforming our lives. We do this so that we can help others transform their lives. That's what being a disciple of Christ is all about. That's why we're here as a church body, as a church family, to hopefully be able to pray and witness and see people come in and then let the Word of God transform their lives. As they sit in Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study and Sunday morning service and men's and women's groups, right? So that marriages are mended and lives are changed. We are ministers of reconciliation. As Ezekiel preaches, the bones come together and take flesh. See, God was reconciling these old soldiers. He was putting them back together, their bones and ligaments and tissues and muscles and skins and gizzards and guts. Right? It's reconciliation. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to work yesterday at Penfield, and it was called what we call Family Education Day. And we had about 55 family members and about 30 clients all in one big room. And we got to preach to them and teach to them and teach the family. And it was beautiful. Every month we have this. Once a month. It's beautiful to see the reconciliation. Because they bring these clients into Penfield and they're dry bones. Some of them literally are dead in their transgressions and sin. They're unbelievers, and they get saved and born again, and God begins to change those dry bones. And you see those mamas or those grandmas and grandparents come in, and they see them. And they haven't seen them in 3 or 4 weeks, and they look at them like, you just can't even imagine the expression on their face because they see a new person. Or they see their old son the way he used to be. Or they see a better one. Children see their mom and daddy's back, and they've been reconciled with God, and those old, dead, rusty, dusty, dry bones are coming alive. It's amazing. I can't even explain it to you. Back to Ezekiel, the bones. They're revitalized in two stages, like Adam and Genesis. First the body, right? And then the breath, the Zoe, the breath, the living. As Ezekiel preaches, the wind, the four winds. It talks about in the scripture, the four winds that start blowing. And we all know the earth is round. Scientists tell us that. But scientists also tell us that there's four corners geographically. And we all know there's northeast, south, and west, right? And so in this scripture, these bones were rattling up and coming back together. And the Holy Spirit, and as Ezekiel prophesied, the Holy Spirit as the wind began to come from all different directions. And fill those bones with life. Amen. The Hebrew word there is called ruah. Excuse me if I got that wrong. Ruah. And it can mean wind and breath and spirit. And in the gospel, the words spirit and wind are interchangeable here. John chapter 3 verse 8, Jesus said this. He said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. So you know the Holy Spirit has been called the wind of God. And it blows and comes and goes in and out and travels and ministers. As the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's in here. He's everywhere. He's running up and down these pews. He's ministering. He's offering hope. And some of you may be convicting you of your sins. He may be convicting you of your dry bones. No matter how dire our situation, no matter how miserable we may feel, no matter how ashamed that we may think in our mind, there's always hope. Everybody say that with me. There is always hope. One more time, everybody. There is always hope. I shared with you, beginning this week, I felt like my bones were beginning to get dry. That's kind of where this came from. I actually been working on this for a couple of weeks, but God helped me pull it all together this week. I really kind of felt down, I'll be honest with you. Pastors get down. I physically was feeling down. It started creeping up on me, this crazy autoimmune disease. I hadn't talked about it in a while because I just get tired of talking about it. And I'm sure you got tired of hearing me talk about it. But it was just starting to get me, you know, physically. And I started getting down, sitting sad. And I watched the Winnie the Pooh and thought I was Eeyore, you know. And it was just getting with me. And then Lynn brought my attention. Yesterday was the 19th day I've worked in a row without a day off, so I'm taking tomorrow off. I'm not going to do nothing. Amen? But physically, it starts creeping up on me, you know, trying to be the hard charger, you know. Maybe I can go fishing tomorrow. Anybody want to volunteer to take me fishing? I'm sorry. Somebody's got to work, right? But I'm taking, I got all kind of vacation days at Penfield, so I'm taking a day off tomorrow. And Justin, you can take me fishing. Ah, jeez. Forget it, man. No, I'm just kidding. We can fish on the bank, right? I got old cane pole. Well, it's a brim buster right now. You know, remember cane poles? Real ones? I'd like to get one, hang it up in my office. That'd be kind of cool. Anybody want to volunteer? Give me an old cane pole. Lee, and I know you got some back there and some stacked up in that American Pickers barn. Really? We could do that. Anyway, Adam, where am I at? So, I honestly, God got a hold of me, and I just, you know, in my prayer time, I spent hours and hours praying about this and studying. And the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit just came over me, and I just bawled and cried in my little office in our house, and God ministered to me. Anybody helping everybody? And God, the Holy Spirit just ministered to me and, you know, spanked me around a little bit and get out of my pity party and, you know, that kind of thing, and refreshed me and offered me hope. Hope. See, God offers us hope. We have to receive it. Y'all hear that now? Don't let that go over your head. God offers us hope. See, here's something I learned. Refusal to hope is a decision to quit. It's sending signals to our body to give up. Despair is a partial surrender to defeat. It's giving up. So when you start losing hope, you'll start giving up. And then when you start giving up, that ends up in dark places, doesn't it? Dark places. Do not give up. Do not give up. There is hope. Even if you're in here this morning and you're just dry bones, you're here because one foot went in front of the other. There is hope. There is no such thing as false hope. Hope is hope. And this morning I want you to choose hope. Choosing hope sends signals to our body that we want to live. We want to live, and not only live, we want to thrive. Amen? Confidence in God, like Ezekiel had, confidence in God that we have through Christ brings life and serenity, and it brings healing to our soul. Y'all remember our soul, right? Mind, will, and emotions. So I say that a lot. Listen to this. If death has the final word, if death has the, because we're talking about those bones, they were dead. If death has the final word, then that means death is supreme. But this vision that we're talking about this morning, this vision clearly shows us that God is sovereign even over death. Hope has the final word. And Jesus is hope. Jesus has the final word in your situation. And whatever you're going through, whatever you may be challenging you this morning, Jesus is our hope. He is our blessed hope. Let me just read this to you because I got to read this. So hang with me. If this world alone was the totality of human existence, death would be our greatest foe. But we have a living hope that gives us security and makes death a non-issue. God, y'all really think about that. I'm going to repeat that again, not to insult intelligence, but I just want to repeat that again. I want this to sink in. If this world alone was the totality of human existence, in other words, this is it. This is the world, and this is it right here. This is what we have. This is all there is to it. Then death would be our greatest foe. But we have a living hope that gives us security and makes death a non-issue. Amen. We've nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Do not fear man. Do not fear what man can or cannot say to you. We all answer to Christ, don't we? We answer to God, and He has control over everything, even death. And the Bible says, "What can man do to me?" Amen? Paul said it best when he said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Amen. Now, but like these dry bones in the valley, we cannot raise up ourselves, can we? We can't. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of God's Spirit that's running and flowing and blowing around and like wind going to and fro. You see, right before Ezekiel's eyes, he was watching this go down. The bones became a mighty army. And the message to this defeated and captive Israel was very, very clear. It says, God will revive them. He will. He has. Even up to today, they've been revived. But really, in the future, it's going to be amazing. You see, they will become a people restored. Though torn apart and spiritually dead, they will live again. And they will return to their land that was promised to them. A remnant, this morning we talked about that a little bit in our worship songs. A remnant will return to rebuild Jerusalem, the temple, and the city wall. And Jesus will one day, what will he do? He will set up his throne. He will set up his kingdom on earth here. But the point of Ezekiel's vision is not physical resurrection. It is spiritual resurrection. Israel will be reborn to newness and life. And this gives us a message of hope. And it's the dawning of a new creation. God is working. You see, God, listen closely. God can restore anyone. So don't give up hope. Never give up hope. Instead, we need to pray for God to revive and to renew those who were caught in the valley of dry bones. And some of us have family members and friends and people that we're close with, children, grandchildren, that are caught in the valley of dry bones. Don't fret. Don't worry. Pray and trust God. Pray and trust God. Trust the Holy Spirit to blow the winds in their direction, because He said He would. And we don't need to doubt like Ezekiel, right? We don't. He didn't doubt. We shouldn't doubt. God said it. It's done. Let's do it. Now see, I've preached in some unusual places in my little tiny career of 20 years probably of preaching the Word. But none as strange as Ezekiel. I've actually preached on many college campuses throughout the Southeast United States. I've preached in inner city churches and the inner cities of big cities. I've preached in state and federal prisons, county jails, drug treatment centers, beautiful stained glass churches. Fancy churches, they call them, you know. City churches, country churches, home churches. Broken down and busted churches. And I've actually preached on a Navy ship in the middle of the South China Sea. But I have never preached. Right? I've never preached a bunch of dead bones in the middle of nowhere. Now, some of my preacher friends tell me that I feel like they preaching the dead bones every Sunday morning. I just laugh at them because I do not feel that way about you guys. I really don't. I feel like you're paying attention and you love the Lord. And oftentimes I'm very intimidated because I think that most of you probably know more about this than I do. So, but I have to trust the Lord, right? Keep moving, one foot in front of the other. Let God guide me. So I just laugh at my little friends. But all seriousness, we need to start praying for revival. I sense something going on, you know, something good in Pauline. And looking for the heavenly winds to begin to blow here. You know, and people begin to get saved and we grow. And, you know, God didn't really call us to be successful, which that's a good thing. But He really called us to be faithful, didn't He? You know, He just called us to be faithful. Faithful for what we have, faithful for what we need to do, and faithful in trusting Him. One of the goals of preaching is to raise the dead. Literally, you know, dead in trespasses, you know, transgressions and sin. and to offer the life-giving word. So I'd like to end the message with unusual, and unusual way to end this message. Let's pray that God will restore our old bones. Okay? And raise up old bones, and raise up leaders in Pauline, and raise up leaders in our city, and our churches, and in our country, and our area, and the world, missions. Glad we support missions here. And I pray that we turn these dry bones that God is raising up into an army for Him. And I'm closing now. So as an army of ministers of reconciliation, I'd like to share with you something kind of funny. I know it's not funny, but it is to me. But every organization, to include the church, is made up of five kinds of bony people. You know, if this offends you, I apologize. Just keep coming back. Right? So let me share with you. Examine our hearts. Examine your heart. I examined my heart. Right? So you'll search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. So here we go. We'll close with giving an example of the five kinds of bony people. You got the wishbones, who spend all their time wishing and hoping someone else would do the work. You got the neck bones, who spend all their time sticking their necks around the corner and getting into everyone else's business and gossiping. And then we got the jaw bones, who spend all their time talking about what needs to be done with little to no action. And then we got the knuckle bones, who spend all their time knocking everything that everyone else tries to do. Y'all still with me? And then we got the backbones. And the backbones spend all their time getting under the load and doing all the work. So I pray, God, raise up men and women with backbone to do the work of the ministry that God's called us here at Pauline. Amen? And I'll close with an old quote. It's about being successful. And God didn't necessarily call us to be successful. He called us to be faithful. But I would love for us to continue being a ministry of excellence. Right? And that's where we're striving. So here's the old quote. The hard part of success is you have to do it every day. And success depends on the proper functioning of the glands. The sweat glands being the most important. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, I just pray they'll come down and get saved this morning. Lord, I pray for the words that, Lord, we just love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.